and now evangelist David Shannon.
If we'll open up to James, the first chapter. Look with me, if you will, to James, the first chapter, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now notice this is immediately following the verse 19 through 21, which introduces the thought that we looked at last Sunday night. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I think what James was doing here with following with these verses was guarding from anyone going to either extreme. You see, back throughout history, we can look and we can see men that went to the extremes. We all know people who go to the extreme that they speak so much that they never listen and they're really uncomfortable to be around. It's definitely a one-sided conversation and they never gain wisdom from others because they're never listening. But then there's the other extreme. We can look back in history and usually the men we refer to as the monks, they thought that they would take this line of thinking to the other extreme. They would say very little, if anything, and they would always listen. They would always spend their time reading the Word. At times they would even lock themselves into a room and live there for years on just a concrete or a stone floor and have their meals just slid in under the door. Why? Because they thought that there was something holy about not speaking. And they thought that they were doing the will of God and just going and living by themselves, just studying the Word all of the time. So it seems here in just a few verses, James touches on the two extremes. Don't talk so much that you never listen. But yet, don't think that just hearing all the time and never saying or doing anything is the way God wants you to live as well. So with that in mind, I'm reminded of the old saying that I heard often growing up that I'm sure some of you have heard, and that is, don't sit around like a knot on a log. You know, a knot on a log is a hard thing to move. You ever split wood, you know how hard it is to move a knot on a log. The split will go around it, but you'll never go through the knot. Don't sit around like a knot on a log, something that accomplishes nothing, something that is never moving about, something that never does good. James says, be ye a doer of the Word. Brethren, it's great to listen. And it's great to be a hearer. But when we forget to carry out the things that we have heard, we've then become a hearer only and not a doer. As we look at this, we see that it seems almost that we receive the Word of God by hearing, and that receiving is almost like a gift. It's not that simple. Yes, we need to receive the Word of God. But if I were to say to you this evening, will you receive $5? You could simply hold out your hand and say, yes, I'll receive it. I put $5 in your hand and it's yours. The Word's not that simple. When the Lord wants us to receive the Word, He wants us to take it in. But then to prove that we have received it, He wants us to do what the Word says. What does it really mean to be a doer of the Word? You know, there's a jargon going around where people say, for instance, do you want to do lunch? Instead of saying, do you want to go out and have lunch? They say, do you want to do lunch? Women say to each other, do you want to do shopping today? And that's kind of, you might say, the latest jargon going around our society at this time. In a sense, that's what the Lord says here about the Word. Do you want to do the Word? Don't just hear the Word. Do you want to do it? Well, first we have to find out, what is the Word? Notice John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word is Jesus Christ. So this evening, before we can answer the question, do we want to do the Word, we have to ask ourselves, do we want to live as Jesus lived? Now just for a minute or two, I want us to flip through the first few chapters of John. I want us to remember just exactly what Jesus did. Do we want to do the Word? Do we want to live our life like Jesus lived His life? We read that we have in 1 Peter 2:21 that we have Jesus' example so we can follow in His steps. We look at the second chapter and we see where there's an embarrassing situation taking place. They have run out of wine for the wedding feast, and Jesus goes in and He makes those people comfortable by helping them through this embarrassing situation of preparing wine. He carried out a task. He didn't just talk about it. He didn't just listen to the problem, but He did something about it. We can look at the third chapter and we see there right off, Nicodemus came to Him by night. He didn't just listen to Nicodemus. He didn't say, "It's late, I don't have time for you." He did something. He listened and then He instructed. He spoke about it. We can look also to the fourth chapter and we can see that there He stops to take a rest at a well. And who is it there? The Samaritan woman. He doesn't just sit there and say, "Listen, I've traveled a long day, I'm very tired." He does something about the situation there. He instructs the woman how to have a better life. He's a doer of the Word. We can look also to the fifth chapter and we can see at the pool of Bethesda that there was a man who had been laying there for 38 years. And that man had laid there and he could do nothing about his situation. Jesus went and He did something for the one that could do nothing. Oh, how we need to learn from Jesus that He was a doer. We see in John the sixth chapter that there were 5,000 there. And He fed them. Brethren, try to imagine in your mind 5,000 people following you around. And finally, as they followed Him and they continued to follow, He did something that many would not do. You know, today there are many, and especially the TV evangelists, they'll do anything to have a crowd to follow them. Jesus took that crowd and He spoke the truth so strongly that some of them turned away and said, "This is a hard saying." He does that in John the sixth chapter. He did the truth. He carried it out in such a way that He did not give in, even when it meant that some of His followers would no longer follow Him. We can see in the seventh chapter that He reproves some of His very own brethren. Sometimes it costs to be a doer. Sometimes we might have to talk to those that we love so dearly. We might have to say, "I'm concerned about you. I'm afraid your life's not what it should be. Can I help?" But brethren, that takes doing. We can read day and night Galatians 6:1 that says, "Go to your brethren." But do we actually do it? We can see also, as we turn over to the ninth chapter, we can see that He even stood up to the Pharisees. They were offended because He had healed the blind man. He did something about the situation with other religious men. We shouldn't just give in when we're confronted about religious matters. But we should study, we should hear, and then we should do. We should carry out, we should stand strong for what the truth is. And brethren, we could go on and on looking throughout the life of Jesus Christ. But I want us to just get a start this evening of realizing what it is to do the Word. The Word is Jesus Christ's life. That's the Word. This evening, if I'm going to say to myself and to my God in heaven, "I want to do the Word, Lord," I have to be ready to do just that, to do. It's no longer something where I read and I'm encouraged. It's no longer something where I talk to one another about it. Finally, when I've made the commitment to do, it means that I'm in action. I'm ready to serve the Lord. I may not always be comfortable in what I'm doing, but I'm doing because Jesus Christ wants that out of my life. But let's look a little further in to our text. Also, as we look back, "Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only." What's the danger of being someone that only listens to the Word? We can look at two or three examples. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, there was a huge danger there. They listened to the Word. Jesus said, "Why are you upholding the traditions instead of the law?" What were these men doing? They were carrying out the tradition of crying out, "It's Corban," and they were mistreating their parents because that was a tradition. The law was, "Honor thy father and mother," and they were not doing that because they preferred the tradition over the law. Do you see what's happened here? They heard the law, but they did the tradition. Are we guilty of that this evening? It's not enough just to be a hearer of the law, but then carry out other works that we prefer to do. We can see another example of someone that was a hearer for this moment. I think that he straightened it out pretty quick, but it's that favorite chapter of John, the 21st chapter, where poor old Peter is still trying to get his life right. Jesus asked him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And each time he answers, "Yea, Lord, you know that I love you." And finally, when Jesus thinks he has everything in order with Peter, and he finally says, "Peter, follow me," what does Peter do? He's heard all of the things Jesus wants him to do, but he turns and he says, "What about John?" Brethren, tonight you can hear this sermon. You can hear it. But do you know you have the possibility to apply it to someone else's life and allow this sermon to never do any good for you? I wonder how often we're guilty of that. We hear the teachings of God's Word, and the whole time we're hearing the teaching, we're thinking, "I'm glad so-and-so was hearing this." Or, "I just wish so-and-so was here to hear this, because boy, they really need that." And the whole time, with every point and every application, we apply it to someone else, as Peter did in this case. We need to guard against that. We need to be a hearer and a doer of the Word. As we've already mentioned in John the 6th chapter in verse 60 and verse 66, there were those that heard the Word and they followed Jesus around for a few days hearing the Word, but finally they said, "This is a hard saying." And they turned away never to follow again. That's the third way that we can hear the Word, but yet not do anything. We can hear it and simply say, "I'm not going to obey it." Not put on, not try to make others think we're obeying. Simply say, "I'm going to disobey." It's a hard saying. Tonight, we should give serious thought. Are we hearers only? As we look at James, we see that when we are hearers only, notice what it says, deceiving ourselves. Brethren, we don't deceive God. We can be hearers and never do anything, but we have not deceived God. Galatians 6 and verse 7 tells us that we should not think that we can mock God. Be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Brethren, we can't fool God. You can fool me. You can fool yourself. I can fool me. I can fool you. The fact is, the judge that we will stand before, he's not deceived. And he knows if I'm not doing the things that I should do. We should give serious look to the fact of who are we deceiving. But for a few more moments, let's look at verse 23 and 24. "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." You know, this is an interesting teaching to me. Do you think you remember what you look like? If you do, why do you look in the mirror so often? You see, the truth is, we forget what we look like. Oh, we say, "Well, sure, I know what I look like." Well, you may recognize yourself, but you have probably forgotten to some degree what you look like, or you wouldn't continue day after day and several times a day going back in front of the mirror. Let me further emphasize that. How many times did you look in the mirror before you left the house this morning or this evening? You ever seen anybody go and they look in the mirror, and then they go and they do something else, and then a minute they come back and they look again? Why do we look for the second time? Maybe the first time we were looking at one specific area, maybe the hair, and then all of a sudden we want to see if the tie is straight. Why do we have to look back to see if the tie is straight? If we looked at the mirror the first time, we ought to be able to remember if the tie is straight. But the truth is, we don't have that kind of memory. We forget. So if we were looking at our image and concentrating on our hair, we have to go back and we have to look again to see what the tie looks like. We forget. James says that's the way many of us are with the Word if we're not careful. We go and we look at the Word, but when we walk away from it, we forget. It's nothing for us. It has done absolutely nothing for us. He says we need to be like the ones that we look and we look serious. We look for a long time and we concentrate upon everything. And then when we leave the Word, we walk away and we live it. And that's hard. That's hard. If you don't think it's hard, you use this same analogy here and you go home and you look in the mirror tonight and you try to remember everything about yourself and then you walk away and 5 minutes later you try to paint the exact picture that you saw. It's harder than what you might think. That's the way it is with the Word. It's hard. This lesson is easy to say. It's easy to say, don't be just a hearer, but be a doer as well. That's easy. But it's so hard to live out. How we should strive so much to live this out. But let's look and let's take a test in the last 4 or 5 minutes. Here's the test. Notice verse 26. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. The first question. Are you a religious person that your religion is worthy to worship God? Now, if you want that answer to be yes, you want to be worthy to be a worshiper of God, you must uphold these next things that James speaks of. First, he says, and this is the questions that God made out, you must bridle your tongue. You must control your tongue. Brethren, it's amazing what a bridle, what a bit can do to a horse. You can have a horse that's running wild in the pasture and you can catch that horse and put a bridle or a bit in its mouth and it's amazing the change. He says, that's the way the Christians to be. The world, they can go out and they can run their mouth. But when you see a Christian, it should be that drastic of a change. A person that is in control of their tongue. A person that uses their tongue for good, not for bad. He says, that's enough right there to make your religion vain. But that's not all the question. Look at 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Number 2, to visit the fatherless. Number 3, to visit the widows in their affliction. Number 4, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Brethren, I want you to think. Give yourself a long, hard look. Are you doing these things? James says this is enough to make your religion vain. Any of these things is enough to say you're not worthy to worship God. Do you visit the orphan? Someone might say, well, you know, I really don't think it's that important. You know why we often want to overlook the things that is doing? Do you visit the widows? Well, I just can't see why it's that important for my religion to be worthy to God for me to visit the widows. James says it is. Do we keep ourselves unspotted from the world, meaning that there is a difference? As we talked this morning, it's a changed life. It's a different life. We're not the same as the world. Was it really that important? James says it is. Now, these things James brings out in this verse are things that have to do with doing. Tonight, let's be honest with ourselves. And let's not be afraid to take that last one, that change. Let's not be afraid to be a little bit different. Let's not be afraid to say to God tonight in a prayer, God, I'm sorry, I want forgiveness, and God, I'm going to start controlling my tongue. God, I will visit the orphans. God, I will visit the widows. And God, I will be separated from the world. Is that too much to ask? God says it's not. And that's what God asks for a true worshiper. This evening, let's all be true worshipers. Let's be doers and not hearers only. Because if we are, we're only fooling ourselves. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.